You are listening to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the best place for movie topics and blockbuster discussions. Welcome to Movie Cheer Town.
Now, everyone, it's time to spread a bit of movie cheer.
Welcome to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the show for movie fans. I am your host AP, aka Mr. Movie Cheer, and on today's edition of the Movie Cheer Pod, it will be a Star Wars movie discussion for 2024. This is becoming a bit of a regular thing, a yearly thing on the channel to celebrate a series of movies, a franchise of TV shows, movies, whatever. I mean, it's everything now, pretty much Star Wars, to celebrate it and discuss it as a whole, because I'm a big Star Wars fan and I love talking about it. So let's today do that. So that's going to be today's headline topic, the big Star Wars movie discussion 2024. But before we get to that headline topic, I like to start the show off with a segment called What's Been on the Screen.
Ooh, what's been on the screen?
What's been on the screen? What have I been watching over this past couple of weeks, ladies and gents, since the last Movie Cheer Pod episode? Well, I'm going to start off with the Fallout TV show. This was recommended to me by my good buddy in the community, Mark G. Thank you very much for the recommendation, Mark. This was a show I absolutely really enjoyed. It was fantastic. So I watched it all, and I think you can tell when, you know, there's a show, you're getting into a show, it's when you just want to binge it. And I just wanted to binge it. I watched this over about 2 or 3 days because I was just enjoying it that much. I think it's about six or eight episodes or so. And I think, yeah, about 8 episodes. It was really enjoyable. This is on Amazon Prime. And yeah, so it's basically Fallout. If you don't know, it's a very popular video game series. I'd say it's like a role-playing, you know, how can you describe it? It's kind of like a open world role-playing game, and it's basically where the nuclear missiles have been dropped on the world in this Fallout world, and basically people live in these vaults underground, and then hundreds of years later, their ancestors come to the surface and visit the world, and the world is completely different than it was originally before this. So basically, I think it's set in like the 1950s, this show. I've watched it a few weeks back now, and it's like, I can't really remember some of the vital information, but I'm pretty sure it was like the 1950s, this show. It's got a 1950s vibe. Basically, you know, you see the story, the nukes being dropped on the Earth, and then you have this company called Vault-Tec who have all these vaults on the Earth. They're all like the super rich people who can afford them. And then years later, like the video game, you have this young protagonist of the show, Lucy, who, you know, she enters the vault. They call her a vault dweller, and she comes to the surface for the first time. She's never been allowed out because of the radiation of the nukes, the fear of, you know, what could happen. And basically, you see her go on a quest to find someone who is really close to her. Now, I won't get into real big spoilers with this, but I think it was just a really well-made show. What I would say, it's got very much, for me, vibes of Lost, and kind of, for me, it had vibes of like the Lost, the TV show Lost, with all like the kind of the vaults and stuff. It reminded me of like The Hatch. And all that, it reminded me a lot with Vault-Tec, reminded me a lot of the Dharma Initiative, if you've ever watched Lost before. I was drawing a lot of comparisons with that. And I think that's why I really enjoyed it a lot as well, because, you know, I played the video games. I remember playing Fallout 3, and I wasn't super big into it, but I for what it was, I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie and say I'm a diehard Fallout fan, but I really enjoyed the show. And I, like I said, when it sort of like had them sort of like, for me, the resemblance to the TV shows like Lost that I really enjoy. And for me as well, it reminded me of like The Mandalorian with the ghoul character. That was very like, and the world, the setting felt a bit like Mandalorian as well at times. The outside of the hatch world, outside of the vault world, sorry. And it also had a feel a bit of the, you know, the classic Planet of the Apes TV show, which again, another show I absolutely really enjoy. I think that show's one of the, you know, one of the best TV shows out there. I mean, it's just such a classic show if you enjoyed the original movies. But yeah, it had all, like, all of them mixed in together, and Fallout for me was an absolute treat. I think, you know, the standout character would have been, you know, a character, an actor I've seen in many things over the years, but I've never known his name. Walter Goggins, who played Cooper Howard, and he also played the Ghoul character, the same character but in different periods of time over like hundreds of years. And I think he was great in this. Honestly, feels like he's an actor who's been kind of like on the sidelines for many years, just play like the backing up actor to many other people, many other, you know, movies and stuff like that. I remember seeing him in Ant-Man and stuff like that, very much not like a bit part player basically. But this was really, were for me, I've watched him and I'm like, wow, this guy is really good. He's a really good actor. I like this guy. I think he's an actor I'd like to see in more things, if I'm being honest now, because I think he's a really talented actor. I really think this role, you know, he nailed this role of this like actor, this Western actor in the 50s, and then obviously the nukes drop, and then hundreds of years later, he's over time, he's been turned into this ghoul character who's got like no nose, he's all deformed from the radiation, and he's kind of like this cowboy, like outlaw character going around, going on quests. And that's what I liked about it. There was a lot of quests in this, and we did actually get Ben from Lost in this as well. If you know Ben from Lost, that was really nice to see him as well. But yeah, I think it was a really solid show. I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to kind of, you know, I was saying this to someone I worked with recently. What I don't like about it is the fact I've got to wait probably like another year or two now for season two, because they've confirmed season two is going to happen, and they put like a teaser up for you know what will happen potentially, the like what could happen with season two at the end of the show. But I'm gutted that we've got to wait now like another year or two to see it. But that's, you know, it's a show I've not really, it's, I find it hard nowadays. I used to love getting into TV shows. I don't get into TV shows as much. Like the Game of Thrones spin-off, the Dragon one. I like what I saw of it. I watched a couple of episodes, never watched it at all. Couldn't really... this, for me, was a show straight away. I was just like, yes, this is my kind of show. I'm just down with it straight away. I thought, yeah, this is something I need to watch. I was staying up late. I had like early shifts in work, and I was like, I'm staying up late to watch Fallout because I really want to watch another episode. It's that good of a show. Well worth checking out if you like your science fiction, action sort of shows. Really good. And it balances as well. A lot of comedy in there as well, which I thought as well was really well done. You know, it's got everything in this show. It's got good humor. It balances everything really well. I think that's why it's such a very well-made show. Balances like the action, the science fiction, the humor, all in one, and really does feel very, very well made. I can't wait to see more from this over the coming years. I think it's going to be great. So thank you again to Mark G in the community for recommending Fallout to me. What else have I been watching? I watched Unfrosted this past, I watched it yesterday. Well, hang on, I watched it this morning, sorry. Filming this on May the 4th. Also, May the 4th be with you all. It is May the 4th as of filming this and releasing this today. So May the 4th be with you all, ladies and gents. May the 4th, 24th. Recently I watched Unfrosted, which came out today as a film in this, and this is the new Jerry Seinfeld written and directed movie on Netflix, and it's like a fictional, loosely based, I think it's very much fictionalized. If you watch the movie, you can tell it's very fictionalized. The race to create the Pop-Tart in the 1950s it is, and... It is the 1950s. Sorry, the 1960s. The 1960s. The Pop-Tart, I'll be honest, I'm British. I've never had a Pop-Tart. I don't know if I think it's like a... they probably sell them over here in the UK, but I've never had a Pop-Tart. I think it's like a Pop-Tart, from what I gather, is a pastry. I've got it written out. A toaster pastry. So you put it in your toaster, and it's like filled with like either strawberry, chocolate, stuff like that, and you toast it up, and it's about the race there, and it's a comedy. This it's you know, it's got an all star cast. You got Amy Schumer, Melissa McCarthy, Hugh Grant's in this, Jim Gaffigan, and Jerry Seinfeld. He plays like this sort of like designer for Kellogg's, and it's the race between Kellogg's and Post. I wasn't aware of Post. Post are these two companies who were in the race to create this pastry thing. It's like they do it like it's like the launch to the first one to get to the moon, you know, like with the Russians and the US. But it's played with these two cereal companies who want to create this toaster pastry snack. And yeah, it's a short movie, like an hour and a half on Netflix. I was really looking forward to seeing this, if I'm being honest, because I am a huge Seinfeld fan. I love the TV show Seinfeld. I watched it for the first time a couple of years back. I've watched it numerous times since. I'm on another stint of watching it now at the moment. I love Seinfeld. I think it's one of the best comedy sitcoms of all time. If you never watched it, definitely give it a watch if you get a point. Get a chance at some point. But to me, it was I was really excited because Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld, obviously at the comedian, he has not really done much in years. He'd done like the coffee, you know, the coffee show he did years ago, Coffees and Cars, Comedians and Cars and Coffee, whatever it's called. That was really good, but that was just obviously it was, you know, him just basically interviewing different guests every week. It wasn't like a written sitcom or anything like that. So really, he's not really, obviously he does his stand-up, but he's never really done anything significant. He did the B-movie, that was okay, he voiced that. But he's not really done any movies. This is his directing debut. And I think he's in his like 70s now. He looks great for his age. I think he looks fantastic. Great ahead of a hair. I think he's definitely had a hair transplant. He's had plugs or something in his head. But yeah, kudos to him. He looks great for his age, Jerry Seinfeld. But I was really excited because, you know, his directing debut, something he's written with his team of writers, probably from the Seinfeld team. And yeah, I was really looking forward. The trailers look fun. And what I would say, I wouldn't say it's very much like Seinfeld, the TV show. It's got like some moments where you're like, oh, that reminds me of Seinfeld. For me, it reminded me a lot of like the 30 Rock TV show a few years ago. And it had a lot of the cast members from that, a few of the familiar faces from that in this. And Seinfeld did feature in that a few times as well. But yeah, it had a bit of a vibe of that to it. You know, very silly, you know, a very daft show. Nothing serious in the slightest. You know, there's a part where there's this, like, they make this little toaster pastry being, like this little alien creature, and they make it, and it's like this running around. It's got legs. It's so, like, over the top, silly. Telling the story, this fake story. You've got Hugh Grant playing Tony the Tiger, the actor, this Shakespearean actor who plays Tony the Tiger, and all the mascots go on strike because they're unhappy that this, you know, this new pastry snack's going to take over. You've got these milkmen who kidnap Jerry Seinfeld's character because they feel like this new pastry snack is going to stop people eating cereal. It's really, really silly at times. But yeah, I enjoy it. I think for me, I don't think it was the best comedy ever, if I'm being honest. It wasn't. I'd definitely give it another watch. I think it's something I could easily. It's an easy watching thing. You just put it on, chill out to. I think it's one of those ones. I wouldn't like brag about it to say like it's one of the best comedies out there. It definitely isn't. But what I think it is, great to see Seinfeld doing stuff again. And hope this is kind of like the first step for him to doing more movies, more TV shows. Not necessarily doing a Seinfeld reunion. I don't really want to see that. But I would like to see him do more because I think he's a really funny guy, Jerry Seinfeld, and I'm looking forward to seeing more from him. So definitely, I think definitely if you enjoy Seinfeld, I think you'll enjoy watching Unfrosted. But yeah, definitely check it out. Next up, I just want to talk about two movies, actually. And look, if you regularly watch this channel, you know I am not a horror guy. I'm not a big fan of horror movies. If I'm being honest, when I watch horror movies, I kind of get anxiety before it. I get anxiety before. It sounds so silly, but I think if you can relate to this, the idea of like watching someone getting slashed in a hack, like in a slasher movie, a horror movie, really gives me kind of anxiety, pre-anxiety of watching the movies. So for me, it's a big thing watching horror movies because it's like a challenge, if I'm being honest. And I've wanted to try and get into a few of them more because I feel like there's some definitely good movies out there, horrors, that I don't watch because I'm too much of a pussycat. So I was on a Scott the Movie Critics live stream the other week, and the lads on there, they recommended X and Pearl. And I'd heard about these for a good while. And first of all, thanks for the shout out, guys. But I watched these two movies over the past couple of weeks. Watched X come out first. These have both come out in 2022. And X came out first, and then Pearl came out a few months later. And Pearl is set in the 1918, and X is 1979. So X is like basically like a slasher movie, whereas like they're both horror movies, but like Pearl is more like a psychological horror, I would say, more. Both really good movies. I think I'd lean towards Pearl a bit more. I enjoyed a lot a bit more. I watched Pearl first and I watched X. I watched them like the wrong way around, but kind of like in the chronological order of the story. Pearl, what I like about both of these movies, X and Pearl though, is, you know, you got Mia Goth in the role of Pearl, and she plays Maxine, a different character, unrelated to the other character in the second one. But I suppose, spoilers, Pearl comes back in X as this older version of Pearl, obviously years later. And Mia Goth is like all in makeup, prosthetics. She plays dual characters. She plays Maxine and Pearl in this. But basically, both stories are really, I think both of these movies, you know, Pearl is like basically this woman who's living with her mum and dad. Her dad's seriously ill. And then she just cracks one day and starts, you know, killing people. And, you know, X is similar. They go to shoot an adult movie. Maxine and this crew of these, you know, young, want to filmmakers, and they want to shoot an adult film movie. And they find the house from Pearl, and Pearl and her husband years later are living there. They use one of the outhouses to shoot this adult movie. And then you see in the story, then Pearl comes back and she starts like killing all the people in that movie. And both very different movies. What I will say though, both of these movies have a lot of story beforehand, before you get to kind of like the slashing horror action. And that's what I really enjoyed with these. These are directed by Ty West, as I said, starring Mia Goth. Mia Goth is fantastic. I think in Pearl, especially, her acting in that is phenomenal. I think the end scene as well, it's like 6 or 7 minutes of just pure dialogue, and she just seems unhinged, really unhinged. And in, you know, for me, I wanted to watch this because they got the third movie in the trilogy, Maxine, coming out soon, which is set in the 80s. I like doing these sort of like set in different eras. And that looks great, the new one coming out. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think that's one I'm going to see in the cinemas. But yeah, the lads on Scott's show mentioned it and said they're both really good. And I really did enjoy these. And they weren't too bad, if I'm being honest. There was moments in X where, like, the guy's in the barn and he gets stabbed in a certain way. That was horrible. But I could see it coming. But yeah, I think they're both really well. I think what I liked about them most, there's a big story build-up before. It kind of, like, story, build-up. And, like, a good, like, 40, 50 minutes in, and then, boom, the horror, the horribleness starts. And yeah, I really enjoyed them both. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Maxine. X and Pearl, definitely well worth checking out. If you want to give horror a try, like I said, I'm a bit of a pussycat when it comes to horror movies. So I think if I can handle them, you can probably handle them too. They're not too bad. But yeah, really worth checking out. Two very different movies, but two different movies well worth viewing. Anyway, that's what's been on the screen for me over the past week. Let's move on to today's headline topic.
The Movie Cheer Podcast presents the headline topic for the episode.
Remember to spread a
head,
bit
head,
of
headline
cheer.
Topic.
Head.
Headline topic.
Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer.
So today's headline topic, the Star Wars Movie Discussion 2024. And it is, as of filming this and releasing this, it is May the 4th, Star Wars Day, May the 4th, 24th. So May the 4th be with you all, ladies and gents. And let's get into this. I thought, let's just go on a few different Star Wars topics, have a big discussion. I love Star Wars. If you're not a regular viewer of the channel, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I love the movies. Big fan of the original trilogy, of course. But yeah, I've enjoyed everything in between. You know, some, you know, we have critiques of Star Wars, sure. But I love my Star Wars. It's one series I can always go back to and always get something out of it and enjoy it. So I want to start off, first of all, with, you know, a celebration, a big, you know, a bit of a happy birthday to Star Wars, to Phantom Menace, the episode one, the first in the sequel trilogy, the prequel trilogy, not the sequels, the prequel trilogy, that came out in 1999, May of 1999, actually, celebrating 25 years this year. And this weekend, they were in the UK, and I'm pretty sure everywhere across the world, they're doing a re-release in the cinemas of The Phantom Menace, so I'm hoping to either check out today or tomorrow, definitely some point over this weekend, to go and see that at the cinema, see it on the big screen. I memories of this, you know, I'm pretty sure I would have seen this at the cinema, but I can't recall the memory, even being honest. What I can recall, though, is all of the, you know, the excitement around The Phantom Menace being released in 1999. I remember, it's like little things. It's like the KFC cups, the toys you get in, like the, I think it was KFC. KFC did like the merch for like the sort of the movie. They had, you know, I remember like as well in school, because I was at school at the time, in primary school, and the excitement, but like, I think it was the excitement, and I remember very vividly the pencil cases. It's like, I don't know if this is a thing with kids now, but it was like a thing back in when I was a kid. It was like pencil case. It's like, oh yeah, you've got to have a cool pencil case. And you'd have them kids who like have like the Pepsi and Coca-Cola bottle pencil cases. But then they have like, I remember like you get one kid who'd have like the Star Wars Episode One pencil case. And it'd be, I think there was one, like it was just like a, it was like a steel pencil case, like the steel ones. And it was like, it looked awesome. And I was like, and I think I vaguely remember getting one eventually, but it was so, you know, it, like the first kid who had that pencil case was like, yeah, this kid's, he knows what it's all about. He's cool. But it was so, you know, so exciting. And for me, because I'd watched, growing up prior to that, I'd watched the original trilogy, and I was a huge fan of the original trilogy. Obviously, I didn't grow up with that in a sense. I didn't watch it in the cinemas, but I grew up in a sense with it, you know, through VHS, watching it at home. Always a big fan. Always a movie series I would watch over and over again. I really enjoyed. So when, you know, when that they announced they're going to do a new prequel trilogy, and you know it's coming to the cinemas, and you're like, this is awesome. And like I said, the memories are probably more like watching them at home and stuff like that, to be honest with you. I just really enjoyed it. But Phantom Menace, look, I think it's one of them. As a kid, I enjoyed it, and then over the years, people have critiqued it. And they kind of agree with some of the critiques. But then I think about, you know, I watch it back, and for what it is, I enjoy it. I do enjoy it still. I think there's a lot of positives from that movie. I think the major positives are, for me, you know, the characters. The you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor, who at the time I didn't think was, I don't know, never like kind of like sat well with me as someone else taking on that role. But over the years now, and especially now since he's done like Obi-Wan TV show, and I think I appreciate him a lot more, Ewan McGregor, in that role now as Obi-Wan. Qui-Gon Jinn, you know, Liam Neeson, fantastic. For me, you know, Darth Maul, what a character. It's a shame, and I've said this in many Star Wars related videos, it's one of those characters where I feel like it's still, you know, they've done a lot more on the animated front with the character. But on the live action front, I feel like we're still missing more of that character. We obviously got that tease in Solo, but they've not really built upon that as of yet. So I'm still hoping in years to come we still get more from that character. But I think the positives from Phantom Menace, like stuff like, you know, you're watching it back, the pod racing was really great. You know, I watched them pod races back in that movie, and the pod racing scenes are fantastic. Absolutely. For like a movie that's 25 years old. Superb. And I know it gets critiqued for its digital effects sometimes, but I think that part, them parts of that movie are really well done. Another part as well, you know, the fight scenes, the duels between like Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Darth Maul, especially at the end of the movie, them scenes are fantastic leading up to Qui-Gon's death. And they are just fantastic. And I think, look, you know, you've seen that young Anakin Skywalker, the build of him. Sure, like, you probably look back, it's like with that thing, isn't it? You look back to things, and it's like, I see with Game of Thrones, and I see it with, like, certain big TV shows. And I think with something that is so hugely popular like Star Wars, it is so easy to critique it for the smallest of things and things that we don't like. But then you say, you always pose that other question of, well, how would you do it better? How would you do it better? And sure, there's going to be some smart ass out there who's going to say, yeah, I'd do it like this and I'd do it like that. But it is what it is. I think it's not a bad movie. I think it's a great, I think there's some lots of positives. I think the positives outweigh the negatives with Phantom Menace. I think there's some parts where you're like, you know, the bad haircuts at the end of the movie with Anakin and stuff like that. That's, you know, little things like that. Jar Jar Binks at times can be a bit annoying. But I think overall it's a fun movie and I wouldn't change it. I really wouldn't change it. But here's the thing. What if you did change it? What if in the future Lucasfilm, Disney decide they're going to redo Star Wars and redo The Phantom Menace for a new generation? Would that sit well with you? But I think to myself, do you know what I would change? I wouldn't change that much from the first movie. Maybe some of the dialogue and the stuff with the politics and stuff, I'd kind of throw that out a bit. Lean into more of the Jedi, the Sith, more Darth Maul, really. What I would love to see, though, is a continuation of that Darth Maul character, because I think they kind of did it a bit more. They learned the lesson with Kylo Ren in the, you know, the sequel trilogy. They give us more of that character because it was really well made. Probably didn't do it justice come the end as much, but if they redid it now, I would love to see that trilogy redone, the prequels, but with Darth Maul the main villain throughout them three movies, and really develop that character into, you know, something different than we see in the first, you know, first movie is very much a silent character, but to develop him into a different character, so, you know, throughout the movies, I would have loved to have seen that. We didn't get it, but maybe one day, you never know, we might see something like that. In like a different, like an alternative universe version of Star Wars. You know, I would not be surprised if they do something like that at some point. It wouldn't surprise me. I think it'd be interesting to see something like that, for sure. But I do think you can't get rid of movies. I don't believe in that, like, just like erasing the movie because some fans don't like it. And that's you know, that's films, isn't it? So, yeah, I'm definitely going to hopefully go and check that out over this weekend. But let's talk about the state of Star Wars right now. Where am I at with Star Wars? How do I feel about the franchise as a whole? I think personally, right now, Star Wars is in the right place. I think the sequel trilogy, you know, it had its ups and downs, and I think kind of it left a bit of a sour taste in some fans' mouths. But I think over the years now, with like the Mandalorian show and some of the other TV shows, they've really built up that kind of like that trust with Lucasfilm again. And I think at this moment in time, because they're not doing too much, I think they were at the point where they were putting out too much content. And I think that's where Marvel has kind of like come to that point. I think they're kind of like, you know, they're scaling back now. Let's slow things down. And I think Star Wars is at the right point now. And I think moving forward, I think that's what they have to do, is not do too much, not do too many releases. I think, like I said, they got the Andor show, they got the Ahsoka, they've got Mandalorian. I think putting just like one TV show a year is plenty. And now they're obviously going to start doing more movies as well. So we've got, obviously, the Mandalorian movie, then episode 10 to come out in years to come. I think the thing they need to do is kind of like separate them and give us a good gap between their movies coming out to really, you know, not get burnt out on Star Wars. I think that's the right thing. But I think, you know, the animated front as well, you've got some great things going on. I think we're at a great state at this moment in time with Star Wars. I'm really happy with where Star Wars is as a fan of the franchise. So what is to look forward to in the future, though? So we've got the Mandalorian and Grogu movie that's coming out. It's estimated around 2026, and that's going to be directed by Jon Favreau, who done Iron Man, The Lion King remake. Great director. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I love the Mandalorian TV show. I think now they could really lean into this as a trilogy, and I think this is really, for me, where the franchise should aim the sort of like spotlight on. I think for me, you know, you got the episode 10, I'm going to get to that in a moment, with Daisy Ridley returning. And it's going to like continue that, the main saga. But I feel like as a fan, I would prefer they don't do an episode 10 and they focus more, well, not do an episode 10 for now and focus on doing the Mandalorian Grogu and building that, you know, the universe with Thrawn, with Ahsoka, build that over a trilogy of movies and give us a new trilogy of Star Wars films that is, you know, about characters we really enjoy, we're invested in. Because a lot of, you know, I think there's some great characters there. And I think they need to lean into them more rather than the characters of, you know, Rey Skywalker, who, you know, as a fan of Star Wars, I'm not a big fan of Rey Skywalker. I just don't think it's a character that's, you're like excited to see. I don't think it's a bad character, but I don't think I'm like, oh, this is a main character of a franchise I want to go and see. Whereas the Mandalorian Grogu, Ahsoka, Thrawn, I'm all in on that. That's a movie series, a movie franchise I could get down to seeing and I'd be excited to see. I think that's the one where I'd be like, buy my ticket 6 months in advance to see it because I'd be that excited to see the Mandalorian Grogu. That's for me is gonna bring the excitement again. I can tell. I think that, you know, you've got the thing you can do with the deepfake technology as well. You can bring back Mark Hamill's young version of Luke Skywalker, potentially throw in a few more of them as well. So yeah, I think there's some great things to come. Like I said, with episode 10, I feel like it's one of those where it should be done at some point, but I think it's still a bit early to do it. I think you've got to give it another 5 years, if I'm being honest, 5-10 years, and do something completely different. A new set of characters, give us something different, because like I said, unless they're going to do something that is earth shattering, that's the kind of, for me, the one where it's just like, just they're just throwing it out for the sake of it, where there's not enough care into it, the idea of it. Maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I am wrong. Maybe that's the cynic in me, but that's the way I feel about that potential movie, whereas I feel completely different. I'm really enthusiastic, you know, with the Mandalorian and Grogu movie. I feel completely different about, because I've really enjoyed all them live-action shows. What else is to come? What else is there to be excited for? Andor Season 2 is coming out soon. That's going to be great. I thought the first season was great. Tales of the Empire. They did the animated show of Tales of the Jedi, came out a year or two back. I really enjoyed that. It was different, you know, looking at different characters, different Jedi characters. You know, you had Count Dooku, Ahsoka, young Ahsoka. Different timelines of characters. And this one's now going to look at the Empire. So I think it's coming out the first episode today on Disney Plus. I think it will be great. I think it's one where you don't have to follow it as a series because it's all individual episodes over different time periods and follows different characters. So you can just enjoy them as one-shot episodes, which I think is really good. But it's really good to see because it just fills in more gaps with the franchise as a whole. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think Tales of the Empire will be brilliant. I mean, there's so much of the animated stuff I've still not seen. Bad Batch. I've not watched all the Clone Wars yet, or Rebels. I've not watched all of that, if I'm being honest. So yeah, maybe you call me a bit of a fake Star Wars fan, but I think it's just the point is there's so much Star Wars content out there to enjoy, which is great that I've still not watched all of it, and it excites me as a fan of Star Wars. But yeah, what would I like to see though as well moving forward? What would I like to see from the Star Wars universe? I think for me, like I said, I'd like to see more Darth Maul in a live action form, not animated, live action, whether that's in a movie or a TV show. I'd love to see Darth Maul return. I think that is a character they can do so much more with, and I think it would really excite a lot of fans who were brought up in that 90s period with the prequels. I think it will really excite a lot of fans of that. For me, more Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader, him returning as Anakin Skywalker in the Ahsoka show, I thought was brilliant. I thought it was really well done. I think there's room for him to be returning as Darth Vader, whether it be a live-action TV show or maybe, I don't know, just like in, I think there's just room there. I don't know where you put him in, whether it's in the Mandalorian and Grogu movie, as a Force ghost in that potentially. There's room, isn't there? There's room to put him in. Flashback sequences, you can do more with it. If they do an Obi-Wan Kenobi season 2, potentially have more of him in there as well. But I think he's been great upon his return to the Star Wars universe. And I never get old of Vader. Vader never gets old for me. He's one of my favourite villains of all time. And I think they've really built him up over the past few years to make him out like a big bad villain and really bigged up his villainous role and made him scary as hell, if I'm being honest, as a Star Wars fan. So for me, definitely more Vader for me. And what I would love to see is something, again, a movie that I think is a bit of a divisive one, but Solo, the Solo movie that came out a good few years back now. Alden Ehrenreichson, I think is it? I always forget his name. But that movie was really well. I thought it was a fantastic film, if I'm being honest. Directed by Ron Howard. It had its, you know, it had its problems behind the scenes, I think. But I really enjoyed Solo. I think, you know, Donald Glover as Lando was great. And the guy who played Han Solo was great as well. I think it was just a really, it felt like a classic style. It felt like a very much like an original Star Wars movie for me. It had that feel of it. I really enjoyed it. Now, whether they do a sequel, I don't think we'll ever get a sequel to that movie, but there's always been rumours of like a Lando TV show, and that's where you could potentially throw in a Darth Maul as well. I think I'd love to see that. I'd love to see something with them characters. They were setting up stuff in that movie that they've never really followed through with. And it just seems like an absolute shame because I know people who enjoy that movie. I've spoken to a few people who said they like that movie as well. So I know I'm not in the minority here. I think it's a good movie. I think it's one, I don't know, it just come out the wrong time. Maybe. I don't know why it didn't do well. It flopped. I don't know why. But yeah, I would love to see more of that. But overall, you know, I'm just happy to see. I think Star Wars is in a great place. I think we're seeing great stuff from, I think Disney's getting it right now. They've got the right balance with things with Star Wars. I think just move forward on this trajectory with where they're going with Star Wars now. And I think the future is bright for the next 5-10 years with the movie front, with the Mandalorian, with the TV shows, the animated stuff. I think they're in a really great place moving forward. And I think Star Wars overall is just going to get better and better. I can't wait. But again, that is it for today's headline topic. And let me know what you are doing today on May the 4th, Star Wars Day. What are some of your favorite Star Wars related things, movies, TV shows? What are some of your favorite things about Star Wars? What do you, your early memories of Star Wars? What was your first, you know, entry point to Star Wars? Maybe it was the sequels, maybe it's the prequels, maybe it was the OG trilogy. Let me know. Let me know some of your Star Wars memories, you know, watching the movie at the cinema for the first time. Let me know your thoughts, ladies and gents. I love hearing about Star Wars and love hearing about people's passion for Star Wars as well. So that's today's headline topic over. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
Case covers, take on of case covers. Can you handle it?
Case. Cover. Collision.
Case cover collision. Each and every week I choose a different case cover, a different movie, and look at the different case covers for that movie and put them up against each other on case cover collision to find out which one is the best. Now, this week on Case Cover Collision, I am going to be, as it is May the 4th today, Star Wars Day, I am going to be looking at the Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, case covers. So I've got 2 4Ks, 1 Blu-ray and 1 DVD case cover to go through today. So let's look at these case covers. First of all, we're going to start off with the 4K. This is the 4K standard. I think this came out a few years ago. I think they've done a few in this style of cover. But look, this, let's have a look at this. So you've got very much, it's like a black background, and then inside it's like an insert in a purple, you know, there's a very much a purple and light blue colours going on here. Bluey purple colours, I'd say. Not like a deep purple, more like a bluey purple. And you see, you know, all the main characters from this movie, Qui-Gon, Princess Amidala, Obi-Wan, you see Anakin in his pod, and then you see, obviously, the different, starships here as well, and Jar Jar Binks is in there, and in the background of all these you see Darth Maul's eyes, you know, front close-up face of him in the background, you know, his glaring, menacing face. Obi-Wan's got a lightsaber out. And yeah, the colours here, the school, they went for a very much a blue scheme, blue to purple colour. I like this. I think it's just a very simple colour. You've got above that, then you've got the insert of the like this insert goes into the Star Wars text of Star. And it's like a grey, white and grey text that moves into like a black background, black border around the central images here. And then some of the, obviously the ships go out as well, which are really cool. But I like this cover. I think it's a very subtle, very simple cover, very minimalistic. But I think it really works well. I think, you know, you're seeing this and it looks like Qui-Gon is like the main, looks like he's like the main guy in this and Maul are the main guy. And I think it's good. I think it's got all your main characters here, what you need in this cover for this movie. And I think it's a really nice color. I think the use of colors are great. I like the silver in Star Wars as well. Bit of a change from the yellow. I think it works well. And the Phantom Menace text is between Star and Wars as well here. So I like this cover. Very, very nice looking cover. Next, we move to Star Wars, the Phantom Menace 4K Limited Edition Steelbook. This is a 3-disc set. Now, this is one that very much uses the... This was the main poster, if I'm pretty sure, for the movie. And, you know, in this, again, a very similar type of vibe here, where you've got Darth Maul in the background, his face close up. Qui-Gon is very much central in here. It looks like they've used his face larger. And then you've got, obviously, R2-D2, C-3PO in there, Obi-Wan, Jar, Princess Amidala. I can't think of her name in a second. I always think of her name in that Padme as well. Padme in there. And then you've got Anakin, the young Anakin there, played by Jake Lloyd, standing at the front of it. Obviously, very much a pivotal part of Star Wars, him turning to Darth Vader. Spoilers. and then you've got some like sort of like light flares in the background, a yellow. Now, this one used a lot more colour, where the other one didn't. Obviously, Darth Maul, you see the red and black face paint. And here you see a lot of like brighter colours, you know, yellows, and then it goes into a background of like a blue, a subtle blue and purpley colour. But again, the same text here again. This time it's at the bottom, Star Wars in that grey font, which I like again. And then in the middle, you've got the Phantom Menace logo there, title in as well. I think this is a really nice, well-made cover. I think it's a really... I like this. I think it's a well-made poster, first of all. And I think the fact they converted it into a cover for a movie, for a steelbook, I think it works well. So far, I'll be honest with you, I've got to go with this one, the steelbook. The limited edition steelbook 4K is my favourite so far. Now let's move on to the standard DVD cover. This is one I've got in my collection. I'm pretty sure everyone who's had the DVD of this has had this one. This is part of like, I think it's pretty sure it's like part of like, you can, like they're all very similar. I've got it here as well. If you're watching it on the video version of this, the Phantom Menace, let's put it back in the collection. But yeah, they all, if you watch them all, like all the side bits are like goldy. You know, the for the bookshelf. But let's have a look at this cover. You got on the top, it's like a gold outline. It says, every saga has a beginning in black text. And it's true. Every saga has a beginning in the first episode. And then they've used like the Roman numeral version of 1 in a gold colour again in this large, in the left-hand corner. And then this time, the Star Wars logo is in it like a white and gold. A bit of a different style for this one. But underneath, you've got that white... that white sort of colour of for the text of the Phantom Menace, which stands out a bit differently. I think if I'm being honest, I like the silver and white. I think it works a bit better, if I'm being honest, over the gold. But I like the numeral. I think that's a nice little touch. And then you've got, you know, it shows like it's like a space background. Then you've got Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan with his lightsaber, blue lightsaber, young Anakin, Padme. No Darth Maul on this cover, which is a bit of a surprise, if I'm being honest. You've got the two of the pods from the pod racing in the very bottom right-hand corner. And the background has, like, space to sort of, like, the red... Like, there's a red mist going around them, a red-orangey mist around here. I think this follows kind of, like, the routine cover for a Star Wars movie. But I think it works with them. But for me, I don't know. I think it just seems too simple. And I think it's a shame they didn't feature Darth Maul, who's such a pivotal part. You know, he's a big villain from this. He features in this movie alone, in this prequel trilogy. And they didn't feature him on the cover for a DVD, which was huge. DVD was the format when this movie was coming out. Like, this would have been probably the VHS as well. But why he wasn't on the cover is baffling to me. Baffling. So for that, for the fact that they've just, you know, they've had that omission, they've not featured Darth Maul, for me, that limited edition steelbook still is winning through here. So I like this. I do like the cover, but it's lacking Darth Maul for me. Now we go to the final cover. This is a Star Wars Episode 1 Blu-ray, a Nordic import, a limited edition steelbook. Never seen this before. Seen it on Amazon today. Now I'm going to seem a bit like a hypocrite. This cover, it features Darth Maul, his face, he's looking side on, very much like a photographic shot of him. And it's just him looking into the distance, a close-up shot, his face, black background, he's like sort of like his hood, and he's just glaring, looking down into the background. In the bottom left-hand corner where it's just a black background, you've got that, you know, the text in that silver black tones in there, and then underneath in a great looking Phantom Menace color of red, matches his face. It looks great. And I think I love this. I love the black background, and the logo for Star Wars and the Phantom Menace really pops here. I think it really pops really well. But I do think it's kind of too simple. I think what they would have done better here is making it more stylized with Darth Maul, making him kind of like maybe a comic book interpretation of his face would have been a bit better, I think, here. It just looked a bit too simple and kind of looks a bit too much zero effort here, if I'm being honest. And I know I've said in the other covers, you know, you want to see a bit more Maul. And here they just give us purely Darth Maul, no other characters. And I think that's what's lacking. It's I don't know, it just looks too low effort for me. And for me, that's where it kind of falls on its backside for me, this cover. It just doesn't do much more. I think the positives are the logo and of Star Wars and the Phantom Menace. And it's great to see Maul, but it's just not a really good shot of Maul. I think they could have done something way better here. With him with the dueling lightsabers, you know, something like that. Maybe just like I said, a bit more comic booky stylized version here. So yeah, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me. So I've got to say, the winner of this week's edition of Case Cover Collision goes to the Star Wars Phantom Menace Limited Edition Steelbook 4K. I think that is great. I think they're using that poster, which was a great looking poster. It's a great looking steelbook. I think it features all the characters in the right way. I think it just looks, the contrast of colours have really worked well. I like the lettering. Maybe would have liked to seen the sort of like the red lettering here with a bit more of that would have been nicer. But I think the silver works well for this particular poster. So that is the winner of this week's edition of Case Cover Collision, ladies and gents. Let's move on to the Amazon Top 10.
The Amazon Top 10 is approaching. Prepare yourself. 10. 9. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The Amazon Top 10 has arrived.
The Amazon Top 10. Each and every week I give you the Amazon Top 10, the bestsellers list for Amazon.co.uk for DVDs, Blu-rays and 4Ks. Let's look at the Top 10 list for this week. Starting off at number 10, we have Prey on DVD, the prequel to the Predator movies. Great movie that, I really enjoyed it. At number 9, we have Marvel Studios' Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 on DVD. At number 8, we have the Meg 2, The Trench, starring Jason Statham. I've never watched any of these movies, but big giant shark. It looks fun. At number 7, we have Oppenheimer on Blu-ray. Still not got around to watching this, but I'm interested to see it at some point. I think I just need to be in the right mood for Oppenheimer. At number 6, we have Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning on DVD. Great movie. Number five, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny on DVD. Still not seen that one. It's one I'm definitely going to be checking out at some point. Number four, we have The Equalizer 3 on DVD. I'm going to be watching that over this weekend, hopefully. I'm looking forward to that. I love the first two. I think they're great. And number three, we have Michael Caine in The Great Escaper on DVD. And number two, we have Barbie on DVD. Still not watched that one. It's hard for me to want to watch that, if I'm being honest now. And then number one, we have Oppenheimer on DVD. Obviously, did really well at the awards. And it is, you know, leading the sales, best sales list on Amazon.co.uk. Now, let's get to the final segment of today's show, which is Not So Worthy Blockbuster Housekeeping. This is the part of the show where we kind of just wind down, talk about what's going on with the channel, what's going on in the Move Cheer Town community, and just a general chit-chat, easy chit-chat at the end of the show. So first of all, let's start off with some comments on the Move Cheer YouTube channel. And first of all, I've got one on from the Movie Cheer Town Exports, the side channel we have, on the 13th Floor VR-based movies video. And this was from Dar Hood. And he's Dar Hood has wrote, I worked at a theatre when it came out, the 13th Floor movie. It was like a week after Matrix dropped. That summer was rather nuts, as The Mummy Episode 1, Star Wars Phantom Menace came out, Austin Powers 2, really good movie, The Matrix, The Mummy, all dropped, and movies like this just got lost. I think Office Space came out that summer too, went straight to the theatre, that would only do two screenings a day. Yeah, a great comment, by the way. I commented about it, but it's very true that, you know, it's such a movie, 13th Floor, really good movie, but came out at the wrong time because it came out in the midst of all of them fantastic big blockbuster movies that were equally, if not more, greater movies. And I think that's just got lost in the shuffle there. Great comment, though. Next comment we have from Ashley Rami in the community on the Should You Collect DVDs in 2022 video. Ashley wrote, I love having physical media for so many reasons. You pay for a movie, a series once. If you don't have internet access, you'll always have it in your collection and you can watch it anytime. Love heart. Ashley, great comment. I 100% agree. You know, this is what I love about physical media myself. I'm not against digital. I like to watch digital movies sometimes first. And if I really enjoy a movie, I like to get it as a physical movie because then I've got it forever. A TV show equally as well. It's just nice having that movie. Like you said, if your internet goes down, you can just watch it, put it on, and that's the great thing about physical media, I think. Next, I have a comment from Ash from Popcorn and Horror. My buddy Ash mentioned, he said, great chat, mate. This is on the Solid Gold Stack, movie stack in the chat video. Great chat, mate. Always enjoy saving your video until Sunday morning to watch while I'm having my morning coffee. Ash, I'm a big fan of coffee as well, mate. I appreciate you saying that. He said, I enjoyed all the Hollywood Godzilla movies, even the 90s one. I need to give G.I. Joe another go as I watched the first one when it came out, but I didn't enjoy that much. Could be a rewatch is needed. First of all, I want to say Ash has got a great channel. And first of all, definitely it's great to see Ash back. Ash took a bit of a break. Come back, Popcorn and Horror. Check out his channel. Great channel. Talking about movies, physical movies. Collecting movies, he's just a top guy, really nice guy, and he's got a really good channel, and I really appreciate that comment as well from Ash and from everyone else as well. Really nice comments there. It's great to, you know, see them comments in the community. Really nice to see. Next up, I want to say I put a video out on Instagram, but I want to say a big thank you to Scott the Movie Critic, his YouTube channel. I was on the Friday Night Live stream a few weeks back with Andy, Scott, Nige and Keith, and I had a cracking time. I thought it was really fun. Them lads are really hilarious. They're a great bunch of lads. And it was a really fun show. We did a couple of hours on a Friday night. And it was just like hanging out with your mates. You know what I mean? It's like really just chilled out atmosphere. Talking about movies. Lots of great people in the chat as well talking about movies. I really enjoyed it. And highly recommend it. It's a show I watch regularly on Fridays. I think it's a really fun show to watch. And it was nice to be involved. So I really enjoyed that. And definitely check out Scott's channel. Big thank you again for Scott for inviting me on. The rest of them lads as well. I had a cracking time. So really check them all out. I'm going to put the links in the the description below as well if you're watching on the YouTube video. But as well, you know, content now is fairly, I think this year, so far in 2024, the content has been coming out fairly regular, and I'm pretty happy with that. And consistency is key with YouTube. Putting out content. We don't do a podcast. I don't do a podcast every week, and I think you're aware of that now. I do it every couple of weeks, and I think I feel more recharged doing it. But then I put out other videos, and I've been, you know, putting out some of the Patreon stuff that obviously I closed the Patreon at the start of the year, throwing them videos and podcasts out over the past couple of weeks, and it's nice to see them in the feed and people viewing them, which weren't getting as much viewing. So it's nice to share that content, and I'm just enjoying it. I'm enjoying doing the podcast, doing the channel, talking about my passion, and it's nice to see do it consistently, not taking them breaks, but content's always there. But I am taking breaks because I'm using obviously content that was already there in place, so it's good. I'm really enjoying it. I'm having fun with it, and I think that's the main thing. But this has been a great show today. If you enjoyed today's show, ladies and gents, please do give it a like and subscribe to the channel if you're watching on YouTube, and also subscribe if you're listening to this as a podcast on the podcast app of your choosing. Subscribe and leave a review. All reviews do help, and obviously send me a link to the review, send me a photo of it, I'll read it out on the show. Leave all your comments as well on YouTube, as always. And yeah, it's been a fun show, the Star Wars Celebration, Star Wars Movie Discussion 2024 on May the 4th today. I've really enjoyed it. I love Star Wars. I've loved just talking about it as a whole. I can always talk about Star Wars. Never gets old for me. It's been a great discussion. I've enjoyed, you know, talking about all the other movies as well I've been watching over the past few weeks. Let me know your thoughts on all of today's topics, ladies and gents. What are some of the shows you've been watching recently? What do you think of Fallout? Phantom Menace, will you be watching this over this weekend, even at home or at the cinema? What are some of the best things about Star Wars at the moment? What are some of your memories of Star Wars? Some of your favourite things about Star Wars as a whole? Let me know all your thoughts, ladies and gents. May the 4th be with you. Thank you very much for watching all. Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer, and as always, I will see you next time.